We are mostly live and completely local. This is Metro South Podcasting.
Welcome to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us and how it affects us here on the South Shore of Massachusetts. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Here I come. I can't sing. I can't dance. Good morning. Welcome to the program. I'm Ron Van Dam. It's the Ron Van Dam Show here on Metro South Podcasting. I'll spell that for you. H-E-R-E-O-N MetroSouthPodcasting.com. itapleasurethobitwyow. All right, enough of this. Hi. Welcome to the program. I hope that you spend each and every weekday with me on this, not personally, because we wouldn't get along. I guarantee you we would not get along. We're totally different. We're bipolar. You're on one polar and I'm on the other polar. That's not what bipolar means. I'm just saying. This is like no way. If I get along with you on a personal basis, you should party or something, man, because that don't happen often. It really doesn't. Not that I'm stuck up or anything. I'm just avoidable. I'm good for this. I'm good for sitting behind a stick and talking about stuff. But face to face, you don't want that. You know, really, no. I'd rather have a bad fish than do that. Seriously. Because you may say something that it won't piss me off, but if I don't feel like I'm on the same level, either because you're higher or I'm higher, or you're lower or I'm lower, then it's just in the back of my mind. It's like, okay, what time is it? Shouldn't somebody have to leave now? I am like that. I've talked about this before. What haven't I talked about? When you do a radio show for 24 years, what haven't you talked about? I don't know. I mean, in my world, if I give a party, which is also very rare, I will say the party starts at 8 and it's over by 10:30. I will actually name an ending time for the party. And when it hits 10:30, I take my arms and I outstretch them and go, oh, boy. Anybody else tired and bored of other people like me? Anyway, one of the reasons I never have parties at my house is because I'm very self-conscious about somebody drinking too much, because there's always alcohol around here. It's rubbing alcohol, but nonetheless. But I'm always self-conscious about somebody leaving my home and then getting in some kind of a horrible accident, which could leave them in a fatally horrible position. Not that I feel bad for them, but I'd be all upset that I could be sued. So that's it's all about me. And don't tell me, oh, Ron, you're so selfish, because it's all about you, too. So what's going on the show today? We're going to speak about condoms. What? Yeah, the Trojan people are joining us. Not the people from that part of history, but the people from that part of Trojans, the condom people. We call them the condom people. Have you met the condom people, Betty, Joe? The condoms, Betty and Joe Condom. They, through many thousands of centuries, have been putting lambskin and plastic on your penis pretty much to save your ass. there's a catchphrase for the Trojan people. Putting plastic on your penis to save your ass. I love it. I'm in the wrong business. I should be making up slogans that people won't use, but really should. Anyway, Joining me today is Matthew Hussey, and he is one hussy. Matthew Hussey has appeared on NBC's show Ready for Love. I never saw it. He wrote a couple of New York Times bestsellers, Get the Guy, and some other crap, and he also hosted the show Love Life. I'm not familiar with any of this, to be honest with you. I know they're condoms. I've worn those. Not in the proper place, unfortunately. But I have worn them, and Matthew's going to join us. There's been a survey that was taken about dating and intimacy and how many people actually use condoms and how many people actually don't. Of course, it all depended on whether you have other sources of prophylacticity. But we'll be talking about condoms today, kids. So gather around the campfire and hold hands with your troop leader, and we'll talk about condoms together. Which is, you know, it's not that taboo anymore because I think in some school systems they actually hand condoms out. The condom handout program. I don't know if that's an Obama thing or a Bush thing. Should be a Bush. Kind of makes more sense there. But yeah, they do have condoms in schools. Or I like to call them penis helper. I think that's also another good name for a condom company. Some interesting results on the condom survey, and we'll be talking to that gentleman just a little bit later on in the program today. Thank you so much for joining us. We did the show yesterday from Charlie's Restaurant in Brockton at the open mouth to Brockton High School. By that I mean it's the road that you take to get to the high school, and Charlie's Restaurant is right there, and every Wednesday pretty much we're there from 7:30 a.m. until 9 a.m. doing the podcast live. You come down and have breakfast with us. We're not paying for the breakfast. You pay for your own breakfast. You bring your own condom. But the breakfasts are wonderful there. $3.59 for the full breakfast special between 6 and 8 a.m. That's the two eggs any style, toast of your choice, home fries, and breakfast meat, ham, sausage, bacon. That's all for $3.59. It is kind of incredible, yeah. That's Belmont Street, Route 123 in Brockton, near the Brockton High School, at the mouth open to it. And apparently now, you know that Christo's Restaurant that was on the east side of Brockton? For those of you who don't live in the area and you're listening to me from Guam or something, just like sit there and nod for a couple of minutes. This Christo's Restaurant was very famous for their Greek lamb. People used to come for miles and miles and miles to have their Greek lamb, and then they closed down the restaurant. Opened up a little takeout place. So a lot of people are like Greek lambless. But Charlie's Restaurant is also a Greek facility, and they know how to do it. They duplicate the Christo's lamb type Greek style, wonderfully tender lamb. So give that a try over Charlie's Restaurant as well. They're open in the evenings for dinner. Fantastic. Good people, nice little place. It'll become your new favorite place, I think, your new little hangout there. So that's that. And I believe Tori will be joining us on Wednesday of next week, to my knowledge. I have not talked to her about it, so she's learning about it right now, probably by listening to the podcast, because that's how communicative I am. I don't call people. I simply announce their names and the situation publicly. And that's how we communicate. That's it's cheap, and it works. So yesterday on the show, I was very perturbed, and so were other people. And you know who you are. And it wasn't just one person that came to me. It was a multitude. Believe me, we were in conversation with Attorney David Casella, and I don't want to do this because he's not here to defend himself. So I'm going to be very limited in my comments as far as that person is concerned. David and I are, I would say, friends. We don't go over each other's house. I've never been to his house, and I've known him like for 20 years. So we're not friends, but we've got each other's back all the time. We are brothers from another mother. He would do anything for me. I would do anything for him. It's that kind of male bonding thing going on. So, that's really as good as really it gets. So anyway, but we have different opinions on things. And in my life, I don't know about yours, and I know some people can't handle it. In my life, you can be like totally at odds with somebody else philosophically, but still respect each other on a friend basis. And that's my relationship with the Mr. Casella here. And he joins me Wednesday. He's been on the show with me for 20 years on Wednesday, so there's a long history to this. But we politically don't see eye to eye. Sometimes he'll come a little bit my direction on certain issues, and I'll go a little bit in his direction on certain issues. But philosophically, he's a conservative. He calls himself a fiscal conservative, which is what Republicans call themselves. And Democrats, we never call ourselves liberals. We're just like for the people. So, you know, so that's where we are, and that's where most of our views come from, although sometimes members of those parties do piss us off. So anyway, I just somehow out of the clear blue sky, like just coming down from the sky, I bring up global warming. And I don't say it is global warming because that already has a bad connotation, and connotation this, connotation that. I call it climate change, and I say that the people of the globe are ruining the planet. I thought that that was a pretty normal observation. It's something that very few people would ever argue about. We pollute it. We put crap into the air. We drill into it. We screw it up. We take the animals and we change them around. We knock the forest down, part of the ecosystem. We don't take the energy and the power from the earth. We do take it from the earth instead of taking it from existence, such as the sun and the force of the oceans. Instead, we drill into our own bodies, so to speak. There is pollution. There is high pollution index in various parts of the country. There are various parts of this state which are high on the allergy list, not because there's a lot of trees and allergies, because it's pollution. I thought everybody kind of got that. I thought that was just a given, that the air that we breathe is not exactly clean since we started building factories and burning fossil fuels, that everybody pretty much knew, all right, we're fucking this up to some extent, you know, but we're trying to balance it. Mr. Casella, and I guess I could play the clip, but I don't really care to, pretty much said that's all hogwash. Keep drilling into the planet. Keep drilling for oil. Keep building electricity plants and power plants and fossil fuel burning plants. And that solar stuff and that hydropower is not popular. That's why it's not around. Is because it's not feasible. It's not economically feasible. And I said to him that, man, you know, seriously, like, man is going to destroy his own planet. And he said, no, it's not. He says, you know, that's just like a big... And he started calling Al Gore all kinds of names, poopy head and all that stuff. And, you know, because he has a lot of money and it was all for him. And I should have said, hey, how about Cheney with his little oil company there? How about that? How about Halliburton? How about that deal? How self-serving is that, taking this country into war for those purposes in order to make that amalgamation that much stronger? We didn't get into it because I sensed that it was just going the wrong way. And Mark Schepeda, Private Eye, was with us, and he started to cringe. He didn't even say anything. He said, oh, I thought someone was going to start hitting each other. I said, no, we're not going to hit each other, but we vehemently disagree on this. I did say to him that fairly nasty things that were said in a very nice manner, such as use the word delusional, and I think I called him ignorant. But whatever. The point of all of this is in life, and I've learned this lesson since I was 2 years old, and I still don't get it. And I have to practice it because I have no choice. People are going to disagree with you. People are going to seem like totally ignorant. There comes a point where debate and going back and forth on your opinions and what you believe to be the facts is futile. There are just certain things that people are so adamant about. It is so much a part of them. It is so much in their gut that at times you just have to say, we're going to agree to disagree and just walk away before somebody really gets hurt. It's a sad thing in my estimation, but I'm me. I'm not him. Am I wrong? No. Is he wrong? Yes. And if you interviewed him right now, he would say, is Ron wrong? He'd say yes. Am I right? Would say David, and he'd say yes. So there comes a point where, like, why disagree here? Well, let's just, it's just the way you are. People are different. I don't know if you ever had this experience. I'm going to reveal something about myself, which I realize is something that most kids go through because of ignorance. But when I was a kid, I remember sitting in the back seat of our family car. And I was probably about 5 years old, I would assume, 5 or 6 years old. And I'm sitting in the back of the car, and my parents are in the front seat. My father's driving, my mother's in the passenger seat. My brother's sitting next to me in the back. We all got along rather well. It was a rather simple, cohesive childhood between my family. And we're going north on the East Side Drive in Manhattan, going on the side of Manhattan near the East River. We're on there, and we're driving. And it's just all very quietly copacetic. I think there was some music on their funky old radio there in the car. And I said to myself, and I looked at the tall buildings out the car window and all the hustle and bustle of New York City, and it was a beautiful blue sky day, and everything was copacetic in the car, family getting along great, and everything just seemed so perfectly perfect. One of those rare moments in life where everything just falls into place comfortably. And I said to myself, wow. And I was fairly religious at that point for no reason whatsoever because I didn't understand anything. And I thought, wow, I've been placed on this earth. And it's 5 years old, I'm saying this to myself. I'm pretty incredible. Most kids are thinking about sand boxes and where they're going to get their next lollipop from. I'm thinking about my existence at 5 years old. This explains a lot, doesn't it? Thinking about my existence at 5 years old. Now I'm doing condom interviews. Anyway, and I'm thinking, wow, this is phenomenal. Here I am sitting in this car, and all this stuff has been placed around me for my edification. There's a couple of parents in the front seat. There's a brother sitting next to me. There's this incredible city out the window and the beautiful skies. All for me. And I felt like I was the center of the universe. And I think most kids go through this. I don't think I was just being weird about it. But I was a very introspective kid. And that was the only way that a five-year-old can justify. Five-year-old, as much as introspective as I was, I didn't grasp that there are other five-year-olds whose life are revolving around them. And I'm part of their revolving life. It's a lot for a five-year-old to handle. It's a lot for a 50-year-old to handle. And then I get older, and I start realizing that, no, everybody's equally placed on this earth as a life form. This is not all for my edification, and it's not all for your edification. We're all sharing this planet, and there's like billions of lives going on here, not only of human beings, but there's billions of lives for animals and other living things. And it's not about me. It's about everything coexisting. And that's when it started to get sad, realizing that, hey, I can take care of myself, but like now I have to coexist with like all these other people. Oh crap. I thought you were all here for my edification. Now I find out that you're not and you have your own agendas. Oh crap. That's what happened. I am a very interesting life form, I must say. I am a very interesting life form.
Thank you.
thanks to Metro South Podcasting, now you can get your Ron Van Dam anytime you want, as much Ron Van Dam as you want, any way you like to take your Ron Van Dam. Wow, this is getting really uncomfortable for me to read. Ron, did you write this way on purpose? Did you even read this out loud to yourself to see how it sounds? Yeah, actually, you know, you probably did. Okay. It's the Ron Van Dam Show on Metro South Podcasting. Just go with it.
Just read the copy, John. Don't comment on it. Just read the copy as prepared for you. One of the greatest talents in the world, in my estimation, is this John Shanahan guy who has his own blog and music review show. And he creates, he's written so many, he's written plays and he's just like incredible. And thank you, John, for being a part of this Metro South podcasting. Without you, it certainly would not be as impactful and professional as you make it, sir. Okay, let's, and by the way, I'll tell you my birthdays and get me a gift. and all that kind of stuff. You say nice stuff about people, you expect it in return. That's all I'm saying. All right, let's go to, I'm making myself laugh because there's, you know, obviously no feedback going on here. So that's just, why not? All right, let's speak to this let's condom guy, so to speak. His name is Matthew Hussey. He is representing the Trojan people of outer space, the condom people. They recently did a survey. The audio on this is not all that impressive, but nonetheless, it did take place. So let's see if we can take a listen to this. And we're speaking to Matthew Hussey, TV personality and New York Times bestselling author. Did I pronounce your last name properly?
Yes, I did.
Okay, fantastic. Hey, thank you for being with us today. We're talking about dating and relationships, and I know that there was a survey that took place recently.
Yeah, there was. The survey was actually conducted by Trojan Brand Condoms, and they were looking for how quickly people stopped using condoms in new relationships. And actually, the results of it were quite disturbing. They found that 50% of repeat partners were not using condoms by month one. 62% were not using them by month two. Of these, nearly 40% didn't even have the conversation about stopping the use of them, and 60% admitted to not being tested for STDs.
Oh,
so it's very, very alarming. Huge numbers of people stopping very, very early, having not even had a conversation, and knowingly not protected. Interestingly, the three reasons they cited for stopping the use of them were trust, commitment, and exclusivity. And I had to laugh a little when I read that, because the idea of trust when it comes to your sexual health,
yeah,
to me, is a complete non sequitur. It's a bit like you telling me you have a headache and me saying, why don't you go to the doctor to get that checked out? And you say, no, trust me, it's nothing.
Yeah.
Well, my trust for you has nothing to do with the cause of your headache. Complete non sequitur. But I think, unfortunately, in new relationships, too many people are mistaking a feeling of intimacy and connection with safety.
Interesting. Do you think that a lot of the trust is because the person who they're with, let's say the female, said, I'm on birth control, so you don't have to worry about it?
I think that's a huge part of it, yes. And people then have to remember what we all learned very early on, but seem to forget very quickly, that this isn't just about unwanted pregnancy. It's also about STDs. And we have 20 million new STDs every year in this country.
Yeah.
It's an extraordinary number. And people are continuously sleeping with people who haven't been tested. And it doesn't matter how connected you feel to your partner or how much you're in love or whether you think, well, we've been in a relationship 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, whatever it is, it still doesn't change the fact that they haven't been tested and you could contract something that you really don't want.
Yeah. And, of course, you don't really think you're going to get that kind of disease until you get one. So, in other words, if you have not had a problem with that in the past, then you would figure, well, then I'm not going to have a problem with it now.
That's absolutely right. There's a kind of invincibility complex where people feel like, oh, it won't happen to me. I always say to people, the most dangerous thing about regret is that you don't feel it yet.
Yeah.
In other words, you'll get the regret once you've already got the STD, not beforehand. And actually, one of the solutions to this, because you can't make it logical. You know, we could sit here on all day and talk about the logic of it. But logic doesn't sway people. Emotion does. And we need people to feel the emotion of that regret prematurely before the act, so that you can actually feel the regret now, today, of either having an unwanted pregnancy or having an STD, which stops you from getting to that place.
Right.
Too many people realize it when it's already too late.
So the bottom line is pretty much that no matter what the female says that she is taking or how much you should trust, that a condom should always be employed because it's just double protection, even if you happen to trust the response.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, one of the interesting parts of the survey was that 50% of women admitted to not being able to enjoy sex, relax, or have an orgasm if they were worried about STDs from not using a condom.
Yeah.
So, you know, men need to take notice of that as well, because this is about the enjoyment factor as well. And I'm actually glad, Ron, that you mentioned that, you know, it can come from the direction of the woman as well, because I think we're often stereotyping in which direction the pressure comes from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very often we're talking about how, oh, it's men who don't want to use the condom because they think they're going to get a better sensation, and they're the ones who are trying to pressure the women into not using them anymore. And that's true in many cases. But we also know that it can come from the other direction. It can be the woman who says, listen, we've been together 2 months. You know, why do we still need to use a condom? And, you know, very often men will be in that position of saying, well, because it makes me feel more protected, it makes me feel more safe.
Yeah.
And then it becomes about trust. Well, don't you trust me? Do you think I'm, you know, so it can go both ways. That's why both partners have to take equal responsibility for carrying condoms. And by the way, women too. Women must not say that it's a man's role to buy condoms and to carry them. Because it's your body at the end of the day, so take responsibility for it.
We're talking to Matthew Hussey, who is a best-selling author, TV personality. He's written Get the Guy and Love Life, and he's been on television, the show Ready for Love on NBC. And I know the Trojan brand condoms did this survey. For those that may have been out of the condom game for a while, and unfortunately, there may be many of those men. Have condoms changed over the years in the technology and that kind of thing?
I mean, they've changed both in terms of technology and in terms of the range out there for people. You know, I think a lot of effort has been put in, especially by Trojan, to create ranges that actually allow people to enjoy sex more, not just to feel protected, and you know, that's been designed to play to people's erotic desires, people's curiosity about trying different things, feeling different sensations, and that's why, you know, this conversation should be about fun. It should be about being able to get out there and enjoy yourself more, not enjoy yourself less. Too often the conversation becomes about having to use a condom. I always say to people, if you're telling me that using a condom is being disruptive to your sex life, it's somehow hindering you in the bedroom, you've got bigger problems.
True.
This shouldn't be a big problem. Reaching for a condom takes 5 seconds. Putting it on takes 5 more seconds. And there are plenty of choice out there for you to actually enjoy sex more using condoms.
Yeah.
So it has to be something that we readdress in terms of our own emotional attachment to the issue.
Well, the next day you don't want your key phrase to be, oh, crap, what did I do? So anyway, all right. How do we get more information about this?
People should go to trojan.itsyoursexlife.com. There's a ton of information there to help people spread the message. I know that a lot of people will feel like they're already doing this, but I know that if you are doing this, you also know people who could hear this message and benefit from us spreading the word. So please do go to trojan.itsyoursexlife.com.
Matthew, thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having me, Ron. Real pleasure.
Take care. Hi, welcome back. Yeah, it's interesting. Matthew Hasse. Give it up for Matthew Hasse. What a wonderful word that is being used there, intimacy. Isn't that a wonderful word? It's a wonderful world that as well, but it's a wonderful word, intimacy. It's so freaking intimate. It's just, man, where's something intimate? What does that mean? You know what I mean. Let's become intimate. Just the word is just so, it's naughty, but it's also very, very sweet, very nice. Intimate. It's intimate. All right, what the hell am I talking about? Here's an intimate story. A beautiful blonde young lady, 24 years old. She was going through college and needed to raise money somehow. She could have done quite a number of things in the Chicka Bow Wow area. But her name is Leah Campbell. Very attractive young blonde. You can look her up on your Google thing that Al Gore apparently put together for you. And she's 24 years old, trying to make her way through college. So how did she raise the money? She started donating her eggs. Yes, like some kind of pathetic chicken. She says she was 24 years old when she decided to donate her eggs. She thought she knew it all, she said. I was sure I had life figured out. With donation, I saw an opportunity to help couples struggling to conceive while also lightening my own student loan debt. It seemed like such an easy decision to make at the time. Yes. She says that she's written in the past about about the dangers of egg donation and the growing issues within the industry. It's an industry of egg donation now, by the way. Both important topics that anyone considering donating their eggs or using donor eggs should educate themselves before moving forward with the donation of eggs. Now, let me explain the donation of eggs for those of you that may not be donation of eggs savvy. This is not like your neighbor is out of eggs and wants to make an omelet, and you go over there with a few eggs and say, here, I'd like to donate my eggs to your breakfast. It's not what I'm talking about. This is the eggs from her ovaries, from her impactful region. She would get the eggs out of there and donate them so that some eggless woman somewhere could have a family. These are like egg and sperm donations, kind of like ham and eggs is pretty much sperm and eggs. Egg and sperm donations are done almost exclusively on an anonymous basis. Donors never know more than a few details about the families receiving their donations, quote unquote. And while those families may be given information like first names and photos of the egg donor, the identifying details about the donors are typically kept under wraps as well. Most agencies will tell you that this is to protect all parties involved. Leah says, as far as she was concerned back then, that made enough sense to her. Biology was an inconsequential part of the equation. She just wanted money to pay off her loans. She says, I didn't want to have a relationship with my own mother, and some of the people I held most dear in my life were those I shared no biological bonds with whatsoever. So she wasn't close to her family, in other words. It never crossed her mind to consider what it would mean to have someone else raising her eggs, to be kept completely out of the loop regarding those eggs and what those eggs would become. Because once they evolved beyond eggs, she knew they would not be hers. They would belong to the woman who carried them, to the family who loved them. Leah says she donated her eggs to two families. The first wound up conceiving twins, a boy and a girl, who likely started first grade this year, oddly enough. She was told the second family was not successful on the first try with her eggs, but you never heard anything about that beyond that. It is at least possible that they are able to use her frozen eggs to conceive during a subsequent attempt. Donors don't always know the answers to those questions. They aren't given the information, usually, regarding the outcome of their egg donations. She says a lot of has changed for her over the 7 years since she donated her eggs. And the ironic part and the sad part is she lost her own ability to conceive her own eggs and to conceive, well, she has her own eggs, but she could not conceive from her own eggs, and she adopted a little girl who brings more than joy to her, you know, than she could imagine. So she's very happy with her little adoption thing. That's her deal. She's giving her eggs away, man, and she couldn't even use her own eggs herself, it turned out. And my big question is, did you pay off your student loan? That's all I care about. Now, if you're not aware of this, I am not a female. I have no female tendencies whatsoever. I don't wear their clothing. I don't like their stuff. But I'm extremely attracted to them. Extremely attracted to them. So I don't understand. So here's my deal. If I gave away my sperm, similar to a lemonade stand outside in the street, my sperm stand, if I went to a sperm bank, made a deposit, by the way, when you go to a sperm bank and you make a deposit, does that ever grow? Do you end up having more sperm in it at the end of the year than you did in the beginning? Is there sperm interest? Is there any interest in my sperm? Anyway, that was silly. I apologize for that. If I gave my sperm away... Hey, you want my sperm? Hey, you want my sperm? Half off my sperm today. Sperm sale. Buy two sperm, get one free. Sperm sale. If I gave my sperm away or sold my sperm to the devil, I totally wouldn't give a shit. I don't care what happens to it. You can you can paint your wall with it. I don't care. I just totally don't care. However, I do believe that if I were a female, and I don't know because I'm not, and I don't have a female here to ask right now. If you gave your eggs away for money, for a reason, would you, for the rest of your life, wonder whatever happened to my eggs? Is that family over there sitting in the movie theater? Are those kids my eggs? Is there a connection between your eggs and what happens to your eggs? To me, it's the person carrying the damn thing. But see, I don't know, because that's not true, because all you're doing is just carrying it. You didn't create the eggs. You're just like holding the eggs for, you know, for gestation periods. As a guy, I have no affinity to my sperm. I'm wondering if as a girl, do you have affinity to your eggs? Now, what's for breakfast? Let's see. I'm going to have a 3-egg omelet with cheese, I believe. And a little bit of ham, maybe like a Western omelet. How about that? Because I'd like to have some vegetables with my eggs. Maybe a couple pieces of toast, home fries. I can go down to Charlie's restaurant and have this, huh? My 3-egg special. How do you want your eggs? Donated. So, all right, let's stop talking about this because this is just getting kind of out of hand and kind of stupid and kind of sick. But you know what? I've kind of done another podcast, has been the bottom line here. So thank you to Matthew Hussey for talking about condoms. And thank you to this girl who sold her eggs in a Farm Fresh stand, Leah Campbell. She's very happy now. She has adopted a child, so she's happy. Unfortunately, she was not able to do anything with her eggs, less than what other people could do with her eggs and have actual families, I suppose. I really don't know. But anyway, that's Leah Campbell if you want to take a look at her story. And there you have it. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day. I'll be back tomorrow with more program and another podcast and some more, hopefully, entertain you, bring you to where you're going to be going today, or make you sit back wherever you may be and just let me do the driving while you just sit there and enjoy. Oh, I'm stretchy. Do you ever stretch and then you stretch so much that you have a leg cramp? Like your body, like, okay, let's stretch. Oh, that feels good. Oh, too much. That was too much. It was way too much. That was beyond it. Leg cramp. No, never happened. Really? Seriously? Okay. Really never happened to you, huh? Interesting. Never got a cramp at all, huh? Never got a leg cramp? About like a little headache or something, like, you know, like you eat an ice cream and you get a brain freeze. You ever get that? No, not even that. Like a hangnail where part of your fingernail is like digging into your skin around your cuticle. You ever get that?